1966, we paid off $60,000 that was left on the mortgage that was in place when I came. We saved money for about 4.5 years and began turning dirt for this facility in February of 2000 and moved in June of 2001 on Father's Day at our first service in here. And, of course, the construction loan closed, and it was about $1.3 million. We had half of that up front, so we had to finance about $650,000, and we got that paid off in a little less than 7 years. But when we put the auditorium up, the church grew, people came, and we were out of Sunday school space. It was just it was crazy. And we had to go right into the second project, which is the building across the street. And those of you that were here years ago, the old gym building is still there. You can't see it, thankfully. But the frame is there, but it's now the two-story building. And then the gymnasium was added. That was a $1,819,477. And we had nothing up front, so we had to finance the entire amount. And the fellows have talked about God's provision. I remember we closed that loan in January of 2008. The payment was $10,068 a month. And in December of 2008, the economy went south. And in 2009, somebody mentioned it today, Brother Mick, that I think the jobs were in chaos. And we had a $10,000 a month mortgage payment. Somehow, I don't know, just God's provision. And we never missed a bill. We never missed a missionary support. And God's people gave, worked, yard marked. Father, forgive me. Craft sales, golf outings, just, I don't know. And we have a financial meeting every January with the men, and I guess it was a couple years ago, we could see, could this possibly happen, that we could be paid off by the 50th celebration? And so we just started kind of talking about it, mentioning it in church services, and it got to a point where I didn't think it could happen, so I kind of shut up, you know. Then it got to the point where, wow. And I have a copy of our mortgage here for $1,800,000. I wish it was $1,819,477. And then I have the back page that says paid in full, March the 26th, 2019. We're that good. So that means in a little less than 18 years, we paid off about $3.2 million in mortgage, and that just it's incredible. So we're going to burn this mortgage, amen. Celebrate a little bit. I can't have everybody come up that I would like to. I wish I could get every kid who gave a toy or a stuffed animal to Yard Mart. They go to their rooms and clean out their toys and give it to the church to sell. Every teenager, every person over the years that's helped us, worked and given and sacrificed. We should call a bunch of people, but we can only have a few. There were three men out of the five still here who were on the pulpit committee when I came to candidate back in April of 1990. And three of those men still here. Of course, Brother Jack Lewis is in heaven. And Brother Barry's moved down to Florida, I believe it is. But Ray and Dave Gardner, Ray Nemeth, Dave Gardner, and Joe Griffin, I want them to come. And I want Greg Payne and Delbert to come. These guys were not on the pulpit committee, but special, special men when I first came. And every Saturday, we'd get together for breakfast before bus meeting and before they went to work on the buses, and Delbert mowed the grass, and guys did that for years and years, never got a dime, just worked and served. And so, fellas, that's it. We're going to gather around here, and I want you guys to come in, and I guess the pictures are in place, and I don't know who'll do what here. I'm just going to stay out of the way. So, Brother Ray, come on, Greg. You got good, strong hands from working on those buses, and we'll let you hold this, okay? And Brother Gardner, you're a pyromaniac, amen. Amen. So I guess over here, Brother Greg, and we're going to light this thing and watch it burn, amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. I want Brother Nemeth here just a voice of prayer of thanksgiving to God's goodness. Amen. For helping us to do that, Brother Ray.
I think the rest of the guys were choked up. Let's pray. Thank you very much, dear God and Heavenly Father. We have so much to be thankful for. Lord, I'm thankful for the pastors I've known here, Pastor Starn and Pastor Angel. Lord, I'm thankful for being able to raise my family here, and I got my grandbaby here now, Lord. We're thankful for that. We're thankful for the souls that have been saved, the buses, the Sunday school classes. Lord, the music that we have and enjoy. Lord, I looked around. I'm thankful for the young people. The other night, Friday night, I counted 45 or 50 kids in like five or six rows of junior high age or younger that were here listening to the older men admonish the younger guys to be faithful. And they're going to have to pick it up and take it, Lord. I'm thankful for guys who, for pastors and for leadership in our pastors' lives. I remember hearing Brother Jack Howell saying, if you have a heart for people. And Lord, we're blessed with pastors who have a heart for people, and we're thankful for that. Lord, we ask that you continue to put your hand on the church, Lord, for winning souls and for reaching the community and the world. I'm thankful for all these missionaries that we see on this board. I'm thankful for the people. I see Clint, and I see Ben, and I see the Schrocks, Lord, and there's Oswardis when they were gone, and Harrisons, Lord. I'm thankful that we were a little bit a part of all of that. Lord, we can't give you enough praise and thanks for saving us, for dying on that cross for us. Please, Lord, we're humbled. We know that you are capable of doing much more than we can ask or think. Please, we're not worthy, but we ask that you keep us like we've been these 50 years. We're thankful for it, and we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Ray. I'm happy for the opportunity to have the deaf ministry here at the church. And this year, last fall, before the school year started, we were going over the elective for this year. We got the idea to have our kids take a sign language class, and Brother Bragg's sister, Mrs. Janet Payne, married one of the fellows that grew up here, Jake Payne, faithful man, and she knows sign language, and she came in and taught our kids sign language. They did something at the awards banquet that just blew us away, and they signed the song, I Can Go In, and so we're going to have them present that right now. So we'll have the people move the pulpit, and then we'll have them come and do that. Thank you.
He stood beside the gate of heaven, waiting to go in. And he wondered how this holy place could take a man like him. With shouts of great rejoicing, and with music then they came. Of the angel standing by him, he asked, what could be their name?
These are the company of prophets, the goodly fellowship of souls, who spake God's word with faith and boldness, who blessed the poor and made the wounded whole.
Oh, he fell upon his knees and cried, I am not one of these.
He waited till another band of shining ones drew nigh. They entered into heaven with a hallelujah cry. He asked again, who are these? Can you tell me whence they came? He seemed to see the answer in a burning tongue of flame. These are the company of martyrs, the mighty fellowship of saints, who knew our Lord and walked beside Him, who ran the holy race and did not faint. Oh, He fell upon His knees and cried, I am not one of these. Then suddenly a multitude was heard from far away. Their voices rang with songs of joy, like children at their play. He saw Rahab, he saw David, Mary Magdalene and Paul, and the thief who died by Jesus was the one who led them all.
Who are these? He almost shouted at the angels.
These are the sinners saved by grace, the host of them who called upon the Savior, washed in blood and justified by faith. And oh, he leaped up from his knees. Oh, I can go in with thee, and I can go in, for my heart is free from sin. I've been washed in the blood, everlasting life to win. I can rejoice, I can lift up my voice, I can sing, and I can go in. Oh, he thought that there could be no hallelujahs and no cries for this lowly band of people by the world despised. But as the scenes of heaven opened up before his eyes, he saw the martyrs and the prophets and the host of heaven rise. And they sang, I can go in, for my heart is free from sin. I've been walking. everlasting life to win. I can rejoice, I can lift up my voice, I can sing, and I can go in. I can rejoice, I can lift up my voice, I can sing, and I can go in. I can go in.
Wonderful, isn't it? That was a blessing. I don't go in with the martyrs and I don't go in with the prophets, but bless the Lord, I go in with the sinners saved by grace. Amen. Thank God. Wonderful. Numbers 23, if you have your Bible, Numbers 23. And believe me, when I say this will not be long, okay? Numbers chapter 23, I'd just like to wrap it up with just a couple of thoughts. Actually, one thought this afternoon for us. Numbers chapter 23. And for sake of time, I'm not going to read the entire text. I'll explain a little bit of it as I begin, but I'm going to just draw your attention to verse 23. Surely there is no enchantment against Jacob, neither is there any divination against Israel. According to this time, it shall be said of Jacob and of Israel, what hath God wrought? Balak was the king of Moab. He was distressed over the children of Israel coming his direction on their wilderness journey. The Israelites had already conquered the Amorites, and now they were camped not far from Moab. And Balak, the king, he saw the size of their company, and he knew of their previous conquests, and he decided that he needed some kind of divine help to avoid being swallowed up by these people who had come out of Egypt and had experienced wonderful miracles. And so Balak sent for Balaam, who lived in Mesopotamia. Balaam had some knowledge of God, though he dwelt in an idolatrous land. I don't personally believe he was a prophet of God, but he must have had some kind of reputation as one whose words of blessing or cursing carried power. And so Balak intended to have Balaam come over and curse the children of Israel, so that Moab would be protected from them. And as I said, even though Balaam was not a prophet of God, I do believe God used him to deliver a strong message to Balak about the Israelites. You see, the Israelites were God's chosen people, and they still are. And as such, God would not allow a heathen king to use a worldly prophet to condemn them. Now, God was not defending or overlooking His people's sin. If they needed correction, He would decide when and how they would be corrected, not Balak. He wouldn't do that. By the way, it's still that way today. God takes care of His children who need correcting. Now, every time Balak anxiously awaited a word of cursing from Balaam, God overruled and put something in Balaam's mouth. And Balaam spoke gloriously about the Israelites. And Balak was infuriated. In Numbers chapter 24, verse number 10, you don't have to turn there. And Balak's anger was kindled against Balaam, and he smote his hands together, not in joy, but in anger. And Balak said unto Balaam, I have called thee to curse mine enemies, and behold, thou hast altogether blessed them these three times. Man, I've asked you to come curse them. You've done just the opposite. Three times. Balak asked Balaam to curse them. Three times. Balaam blessed them, because God put in his mouth what he was supposed to say. Now, our text verse is part of what Balaam said the second time that Balak asked him to curse God's people. And Balaam said about the nation of Israel and those people, what hath God wrought? That's not a question. That is a statement, and if you look at your Bible, it's an exclamatory statement. It ends with an exclamation mark. It was a statement of exclamation, giving God all the glory for His great work. And as I thought about what to say to wrap up this wonderful time of celebration, man, it has far exceeded what I ever thought. The Spirit of God directed me to this text. Truly, it can be said of Faith Baptist Church, what hath God wrought? Yes, there have been hundreds and hundreds of people involved over the years of this church's existence. Some of them have already crossed over to the other side. Some have moved to other places. Many still labor in this community to this very day. But it is God's work. Yes, there have been leaders over the years of this church's existence. Pastors, assistant pastors, school administrators, school teachers, and others. But this is God's work. Yes, many have joined together to give time, money, and effort to serve here. But this is God's work. And church, I say again, what hath God wrought? God has not blessed this church because of the hundreds and hundreds of people. Pastors, assistants, secretaries, the working and the giving. Please don't take this wrong, but God has blessed this church in spite of all of us. In spite of us. This is His work. The truth is, when you look at the state of the children of Israel here in the book of Numbers, as they are traveling through the wilderness in their journey, they were not exactly walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. There were manifold problems. There were real issues among the people. There were issues among the leadership. There had been some serious sin and blatant disobedience. There had been idolatry. There had been complaining. There had been murmuring. And at times, a serious lack of faith. And while we've been having a great time, let's admit, church, that over 50 years we've seen all of that. We're people. We're not robots. We're not mechanical. In our flesh, we're never drawn toward God. In our flesh, we're drawn away from God. Yes, we did the best we could many times. Sometimes with a cold heart. Sometimes backslidden. We did the best we could. God didn't bless us because of us. He blessed us in spite of us. Because this is His work. But is that God had dealt with them, the children of Israel, when He felt like they needed correction? But as that multitude of people moved closer and closer to the promised land, as God put words in Balaam's mouth that day, Balaam was only able to say about them, what hath God wrought in spite of themselves? God had done it. God worked to bring them out of Egypt. God worked to bring them through the Red Sea. God worked to provide water. He worked to provide manna. He worked to provide quail for His people. God protected them from enemy armies. And what Balaam and Balak were looking at was the work of God. And what we've been able to enjoy these 3 days is nothing short of the work of God. It's God's work. I'm not implying or suggesting that the people of a church play no part whatsoever in God's blessings on the church. I will say God can and has and will shut the doors of a church if its people turn away from Him. That has happened. But I am saying that in spite of people's good works and in spite of people's obedient spirits, it must be said that as Faith Baptist Church has progressed over the years to what it is today, that this has been and it is today His work. What hath God wrought? Many names have been mentioned during the testimonies. Many more names have not been mentioned. Many of the names not mentioned were here in the 70s, laying the foundation for what Faith Baptist Church would become in the future. They were joined by those who have and have not been mentioned from the 80s and then in the 90s. Many more were added and the church moved forward and more came in the decade after the turn of the millennium. And in the last 10 years, we have seen many who were children and teenagers here in the 90s and the 2000s become the young adults with children of their own who are now working and serving and taking responsibility. And then might I say, there are those of you who have come lately who have now joined the number of people who have made up Faith Baptist Church over these 50 years. Some have come and stayed for years and years, and others stayed for just a short time and moved on to other places. Some have been vocal contributors to the work of the ministry, singing and preaching and teaching. Many have been contributors behind the scenes, never publicly making much noise, but faithfully attending and praying and serving and giving. Who is the key person or group of people that has made these 50 years possible? The pastors? The assistants? The staff members, the Sunday school teachers, the bus captains, the givers, the helpers, the nursery workers, the soul winners, the buildings and grounds people? Who is the key group? What is the key ingredient of church ministry that has made these 50 years possible? The bus ministry, Faith Promise Missions ministry, the Sunday school ministry, the vacation Bible schools, the preaching ministry, the building programs. You know, when Balaam looked out over the nation of Israel, he saw past those who were public figures. He saw past those who were private figures. He saw past all of that. And the only thing he could say about that massive amount of people moving through the wilderness, what hath God wrought? And it was God Himself who put those words in Balaam's mouth. God wanted those two men, Balaam and Balak, to know that they were looking at His work, not man's. I'm glad people have been featured. I'm glad names have been mentioned. I'm sure some have not been mentioned that greatly deserve to be mentioned. But when it's all said and done, folks, and we tie a ribbon on this thing in just a couple of minutes, and it's over, I want to remind us, this is God's work. It is what it is because of our God in heaven. And people, as we come to this time of looking over 50 years, God has just put in my mouth today to remind us that this is His work. How long is Jesus going to stay in heaven? If I interpret the Bible correctly, and maybe I don't, I could be corrected on this, and I don't say that foolishly, I could be. I don't think even He knows. Somehow, some way. Because He said that time is not known. Only the Father knows. I don't know how much longer Jesus will stay in heaven. I think a lot of us would have figured He already would have come. And He might. He might come before we leave today. But He might not. We might be here another 5 years. 10 years. You realize that if Jesus stays in heaven another 50 years, the vast majority of the people in this room will be in heaven with the Lord. A lot of you younger teenagers and you children hopefully will have grown up believing the same God, trusting the same Savior, using the same book, and realizing that in spite of you, this is God's work. And I just want to wrap it up by saying, to Him be glory and honor and forever and ever. Amen and amen. What hath God wrought? What hath God wrought? Father in heaven, I'm thankful Brother Caleb preached about Jesus this morning. And I wanted to turn our attention this afternoon to You. This is truly Your work. And I rejoice in what You've done. And Father, not because of us, but in spite of us, You have put a church here, imperfect in so many ways. And God, You've blessed it. It's Your work. You've financed it. You've moved it forward. You've sustained it. You've helped it and blessed it. And Lord, You just have allowed us to be a part of it. Thank You. May You please keep Your hand of blessing on Faith Baptist Church. And Father, next Sunday, when it's a normal Sunday, and we have King's Kids, and afternoon Sunday school, and violin class, and Sunday school classes, and the buses run again, would You please favor Faith Baptist Church then and in the years to come? Because this has been, and I trust will always be, Your work. We thank You for these wonderful hours together from Friday night at 6 p.m. until now. It has been one joyous occasion, and we certainly are grateful for you allowing us to have this time together. I pray for your blessing on people as they travel home with safety. Lord, may this remind us to be faithful to you. You have been so faithful to us. In Christ's name I pray, and amen. Now, let me give you just a couple of announcements here before we turn it over. Don't forget the flash drive order forms. They're in the pews. If you want one of the flash drives, it comes with the logo for the 50th anniversary. It costs. We're not making any money on this. By the time we pay for the flash drive and pay to have all the pictures loaded and get it shipped to you, it's costing us about $10. So if you want one for $10, it'll be shipped to you. Please put the money in the envelope and drop it. Give it to one of the men here, and or one of the staff, and we will get those sent out to you. They should have hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of pictures on them from these last 3 days. Church members, you might look on the tables for an announcement sheet. We didn't go over the announcements today, but please be mindful to go by and pick up one of those if you need it. Okay, I don't think there's any. I just want to finish by saying this. So many people have come up and said, thank you, thank you, thank you for having this. But I want to say to you folks, if we could have planned it, but if you didn't come, it wouldn't have been a whole lot of fun, I'll tell you that. So thank you for coming, and from a great distance, and at expense, and being with us. And then can I say to our church people now, Faith Baptist Church now, thank you. Thank you for paying for it. And for working through it and working before it. And I hope you have enjoyed it as much as I have and the people who've come from a distance. It's been a joyous, joyous occasion. May God bless Faith Baptist Church.